It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Part two of today's show, and I'm actually going to answer a couple super chats before, but part two is going to mainly focus on the 2025 recruiting class. I'm going to talk about remaining needs, and I'm going to talk about just looking at this group and saying, what are the needs and who do I think they're going to get and what is the key to truly landing a gap-closing class? And I'm talking about the top level of gap-closing. There's no doubt this class is going to continue to close the gap on the second level, which is you're better than you were, right? And if you're better than you were, that's slowly closing the gap, right? Or do you take that big jump and you take that really big elite jump and you're like, hey, we're closing the gap because we're getting the same players or better players than those other teams. Not just that we're getting better players than we were. Better players than we were closes the gap slowly. Getting the same players or better players than those other teams, that's what truly closes the gap. And that's what we're going to get into in this part of the show. But before we do, I did have a couple super chats I wanted to get to, and I'll do my best to answer those. Truman DeMel, haven't seen you in a while, Truman. Good to see you in the show. Your thoughts on Audric going to your Broncos? Well, Truman, I have decommitted from the Broncos. I no longer really consider myself a Broncos fan. A lot of you know I haven't really watched the NFL a lot in recent years. Part of that was just because I didn't enjoy watching the Broncos anymore. I feel they're a poorly run organization. You know, I was more of a John Elway fan than I was a Broncos fan, if I'm being honest. Kind of like how I was more of a Larry Bird fan than I was a Celtics fan. Whereas with like the Reds, I was always just a Reds fan. So for most of my life, it didn't matter when Barry Larkin retired, I was still a Reds fan. When Ken Griffey Jr. retired, I was still a Reds fan. I just don't follow baseball as much anymore. Don't really have time for it. Don't really love the game. But if I was to go back to being a baseball fan or start watching baseball, I'd watch the Reds. I feel a different type of allegiance to them, like Notre Dame, where it doesn't matter who the head coach is, who the players are. I was always going to be a Notre Dame football fan, where the Broncos was more of John Elway. Well, when John Elway kind of got run out of the organization and then replaced, okay, it is what it is. Then they replace him with like people that are worse. You know, he at least won a Super Bowl and got him to two. And then when they brought the New York, I was like, I'm so done with this Mickey Mouse organization, man. Like, it's just so rinky-dink and just ugly uniforms that, like, UTEP wouldn't even wear or UVA wouldn't wear. And I'm just like, I'm done with it. And then, you know, I'm just over it. So I don't really consider myself a Broncos fan anymore. But my thoughts on Audric going there is I actually don't think Notre Dame's Denver's backfield is as good as people say that it is. Yes, Javonte Williams is a good player. Liked him coming out of high school, but I also think Javonte Williams has been a little banged up in his Denver career. He hasn't really been quite as good as I thought he was going to be or could be if he would have stayed healthy. He hasn't just been that real dominant player. And so yes, he's their number one, but I don't look at Javonte Williams and I'm like, oh man, like he is that dude. He is that number one guy that everybody better watch out for because he's that dude. I mean, last year played 16 games and only rushed for 774 yards, 3.6 yards per carry. That's all he did last year. The year before that, he only played four games because he got hurt. As a rookie, he did some nice things. He ran for 903 yards in 17 games. He's a 4.4 yards per carry. You know, rushed for four touchdowns. You know, so like, I mean, last year caught 47 passes, but only averaged 4.9 yards per attempt. So I'm not on the Javonte Williams is that dude bandwagon to where Audric couldn't eventually beat him out. Jaleel McLaughlin, I think that's his name. Jaleel McLaughlin. He did some nice things last year. It was over 5 yards a carry, He's an undrafted free agent. Samaje Perine is past his prime. And then they also have another running back whose name escapes me that was an undrafted free agent as well from a few years ago. So, yeah, they got a lot of names and some bodies, but I just don't think it's a great backfield. And I think Audrick has a chance to go in there and compete. It's going to be tough. He's going to have to prove himself. But, I would give him a chance to battle those guys, absolutely. And especially if he can stay healthy. But at the very least, he could form a really nice 1-2 punch with either Williams or McLaughlin and improve their backfield. So I definitely think Audrick Estime going to them has improved the Denver Broncos' backfield. There's no doubt about that.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into some serious cash. Prize Picks is the largest daily fantasy sports platform in North America. We are the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. It's just you against the numbers. Instead of battling thousands of other players, including pros and sharks, you pick more than or less than on 2-6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You heard it. 4 correct picks. You can turn $10 into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. It is so easy to use. All you have to do is download the app in the App Store or Google Play Store, sign up, add some funds, and you're in. Then you just find your favorite player and decide more or less on the suggested stat. It really is that easy. The night I joined, I picked Hannah Hidalgo to have more than 14 points, Maddie Westbeld to have less than 10 rebounds, and Marcus Burton to have more than 18 points. And guess what? I hit on all three. Bing, bang, boom, baby. Money in my pocket. It was just that easy. Download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, download the app today and use code IRISH for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Here's an interesting, and Truman, thank you for the super chat. Here's a super chat from Brandon Plensner. And I'm answering this one second, not only just because it came second, but it also is a recruiting question that kind of dives into where we are. So Brandon's question is as follows. So he says, so he's obviously thinking about Deuce and CJ, says, and about the battle to retain both. Do you know of any QBs from the same program being recruiting class one recruiting class apart and both being drafted successful without transferring? Well, I'll do you one better, Brandon. I can name you a team that had two quarterbacks from the same class get drafted and go out and be successful quarterbacks, and that is Alabama. Tua Tagovailoa and Mac Jones were literally from the same class. They were both 2017 signees. Tua obviously started in 2018 and the end of 2018 and 2019. And then Mac Jones took over in 2020. So that's one example of it. We saw it at Oklahoma kind of because Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray were 1 year apart as transfers. And then obviously Kyler Murray sat behind Baker Mayfield for a year and then went out and actually 2 years. Started as a freshman for part of the season at A&M, just like Baker had some starts at Texas Tech. They both transferred in, and obviously both went and ended up being number one overall draft picks. Kyler only started for 1 year after Baker and was a top draft pick. So that's an example of that happening. I could go back over the years and look, Brendan, but you also don't see a lot of scenarios where teams get that kind of quarterback in back-to-back years. And, you know, a lot of times you'll see one guy leave. I mean, we saw it's a Dwayne Haskins and Joe Burrow. We saw that happen with them where they battled and one guy got beat out for the job and then he went. And so we've seen situations where that has happened, but I'd honestly have to go back and really study it and look at different teams that have signed good quarterbacks in back-to-back years and see whether or not they did or didn't have success. So that's a fun project. I will look into that. I'll certainly try and answer that question as best I can. Obviously, we've seen a lot more examples of guys that were multiple years apart being drafted. I think the difference here for me and the reason that I think it can work is because if CJ is as good as we think he is, I don't know that you're going to get CJ for 4 years. I don't know that that's going to be the case. Meaning one of two things is going to be true. Either A, and this is, I think, very unlikely. This isn't about CJ Carr. This is just about the game in general. If you continue to put the veterans ahead of him just because they're older, he'll just leave, go somewhere else. And then we're not having this conversation. Number two, which is more likely, is at some point in time in 2024, CJ, and again, we're just talking about CJ and Deuce. Kenny could win the job. I'm just talking about CJ and Deuce because that's the question. CJ goes out this fall at some point in time and wins the number two job, which I think is very, very likely. And then he becomes the starter in 2025 as a true sophomore. And then he's the starter again in 2026 as a true sophomore. He would then have 2 full years under his belt minimum at Notre Dame. Will have won a lot of games and will have an opportunity to go out and be a high draft pick. I could see that happening. And then if you're Deuce, you come in 2025. You redshirt for a year, you sit behind CJ for a year, and now you're a redshirt sophomore and you're going into being a starter. And I think that's a track for Deuce, because Deuce is a little different than CJ in this regard too, in that CJ to me is as close to a finished product from a knowledge of the game and feel for the game as you're going to find. CJ has a lot of room to grow as a player, and there is always natural maturation. He doesn't have all the answers right now. But what I mean is CJ showed up very advanced as a passer with his mind, how he played the game, leading, all that stuff. So that's why I say I don't know that he's a four-year guy. I actually do think Deuce Knight's a four-year guy because Deuce is so raw. He is and he does a lot of things for his program that he just kind of has to be a Superman. You know, we're seeing Deuce evolving and growing in these areas. He's growing. I mean, you watch the 7-on-7 tournament. I'm watching it, and I'm watching Deuce go through his progressions and find open receivers and get the ball down the field. So he's definitely got the football IQ. He's got the mind for the game. But guys are just at different places of development. And to me, CJ, with his background, is very advanced. Where Deuce can eventually get to where CJ is, but it's going to take longer to get there, which is true for most kids. Deuce has got a lot of technical development that's needed, and also Duke's got a lot of physical development that's needed as well. He's still a really skinny kid. So to me, Deuce Knight being a 4-year player is likely going to be the best thing for him. If he stays patient and CJ's as good as I think CJ's going to be, then Deuce can sit a couple years, learn the game, develop the game, and CJ's the perfect quarterback for him to learn that from, because all the areas where Deuce needs the most development as a quarterback are areas where CJ's really good. And Deuce can learn from that, because if Deuce can take some of what makes CJ special, apply it to his game, then the sky is the limit for Deuce, because the physical tools are immense. Big arm, athletic, you know, playmaker. He's got so much physical tools. If he can learn to think and read and process and do and go through progressions and understand the different things that make CJ such an effective pocket passer and apply those to his game, We're talking about a guy that's got the tools to be a top five NFL draft pick. I truly believe that. But he's a long way away from that. And so that's why I think, like, Deuce going somewhere where he's sitting behind another guy like him, I don't think it does him any good. Going somewhere where he's going to be able to sit and learn behind a guy that is sort of the opposite of him, but does things that Deuce needs to learn and improve upon, I think that is where Deuce is going to benefit the most and have that success. Because as the game has shown now, you don't have to be a three-year starter, four-year starter to be a high draft pick. I mean, Jaden Daniels is a five-year starter. Caleb Williams is a two-and-a-half-year starter. Bo Nix was a five-year starter, four or five-year starter in his career when you look at Auburn and then at Oregon. You know, Michael Penix was a three- or four-year starter at Indiana and then Washington. And then there's Drake May, who started only 2 years. We've seen other quarterbacks only start 1 year and get drafted high. Now, I don't like that, but I think if you're a two-year starter in college football, J.J. McCarthy was a two-year starter, left as a true junior. Drake May, two-year starter, left as a true junior. I'd prefer guys to stay at least to their senior years, but sometimes guys are just ready. I think Deuce is one of those guys that is going to need more time. I don't think there was nothing Caleb Williams is going to gain from going back to college. There was nothing that Drake May, in my opinion, was going to gain from going back to college. J.J. McCarthy did have things he could have gained from going back to college. So everybody's different. I think Deuce is a guy that's going to need more time. And I think if Deuce understands that and is willing to be patient, it's going to make him so much better for it. Because we talk a lot of times about guys need to get the NFL – you need to put them in the oven and let them cook for a couple years, right? Well, that's also true in college. And I know a lot of top players don't want to hear this in this era of NIL and all this other. They don't want to hear this. But if it's about what's best for your development as a person and as a player, Deuce is a kid that I think needs to develop. Because if Deuce is playing right away, then he's just going to revert back to the Superman stuff. And he's not going to kick some of the technical habits he needs to get over. He's not going to have the patience and time to learn to read the full field and make those second and third level reads and things like that. It's going to be 1-2, I'm going. And if he goes somewhere that's promising him, hey, you're going to play right away, then that's who he's kind of always going to be. If he goes someplace where he can kind of, you know, learn, then all of a sudden Deuce can still be that playmaker, but he's now a playmaker that can 1-2 and 3 or read this, come back side, read this, take that shot downfield as opposed to a guy that's 1-2 go. And that's why I think it would benefit Deuce. I don't know if Deuce believes that or if his family believes that. I have no idea. I've never really spoken to Deuce. But I believe if he has that mindset, then he's going to be special. And him and CJ will be very, very, very much compatible on the same roster. That's my thought. So thank you guys for those two super chats. I do appreciate both of those very, very much. Let's dive into the 2025 recruiting that I was talking to you guys about. So Notre Dame gets Dallas Golden this past weekend. That puts the Irish at 20 commits in the class. And it's a very balanced class, which a lot of Marcus Freeman classes have been so far. They have 10 offensive players. They have a quarterback, 2 running backs, 3 wide receivers, a tight end, 3 offensive linemen. Defensively, they have 3 defensive linemen. They have 2 linebackers, the money player, 2 corners, and 2 safeties. So that's 20 guys in this class. And 10 on each side of the ball. Now, right now, Notre Dame is ranked number 1 on 247, and they're ranked number 1 on Rivals, and deservedly so. But a lot of the reason, if we're being honest, a lot of the reason that Notre Dame is currently ranked number 1 in those two classes is because they have more players than everybody else. That's just the reality of it. And so that's where it's like, well, yeah, they're in a great place, but as other teams get more players, then they're just going to pass Notre Dame up. So, for example, if you look at the 247 rankings, Notre Dame is currently number 1. They are 0.09 points ahead of Ohio State. Notre Dame has 20 commitments. Ohio State has 13. Ohio State could go get a 2-star player tomorrow, and they're going to pass Notre Dame. Notre Dame's 20 points ahead of LSU, but they have 8 more players than LSU. Same with USC. So you have to go down all the way to number 6, Oklahoma, to find a team that's behind Notre Dame on the 247 ranking, composite rankings, that has a lower per player average than Notre Dame. Now, that's just the recruiting rankings. I think we would all agree that there's some underrated players on Notre Dame's board. There's no doubt about that. and that gap is not quite as great on other platforms. But like at Rivals, for example, they have Notre Dame with more five-star players. They have three quarters of Notre Dame's class as four-star players. So the average is going to be a little higher there. But again, Notre Dame's in a situation where they're going to fall as other people are adding players. So if Notre Dame wants to remain a top five class in the recruiting rankings, or more importantly, for what I look at and how I evaluate and say, hey, this has got a chance to be a top five class. I don't care what On3 says. I don't care what Rival says. I don't care what 247 says. I said this about last year's class, and I said this about the 2023 class. Those are top five classes, in my opinion. Last year's class, there are not five classes in the country I'm trading for that. I promise you there aren't. I don't care where they're ranked. I'm telling you, there are not five better classes than that. And we're already starting to see that class already make a little bit of an impact. And hey, Kingston's as good as we thought he was. CJ's as good as we thought he was. Cam and Mike are good as we thought they were. Bryce Young's as good as we thought he was. And so you feel good about that. I'm more referring to the recruiting rankings, but more so how it should be properly evaluated. So if Notre Dame wants to remain that top five class of a true top five, I don't care about the points-based system where they don't punish you for signing nine defensive linemen and no corners. I'm talking about a true top five class. They have to still finish well. That means hanging on to your top recruits, which as far as I know, I have not heard any rumblings. I've been saying for a while that I think Deuce is very solid. Deuce has said nothing but things that say he's very solid. Ivan Taylor, solid. Christopher Burgess is solid. Their top O linemen are. I mean, I haven't heard any wavering from anybody about this class, and then they just went and added Dallas Golden. So what does Notre Dame have to do to truly close the gap with this class? To where, again, it's not the gap closer in that this class is better than what you've done, but this class by itself is on par or better than some of those other teams that you're chasing. The Ohio States, the now Michigan, because they won a title, the Georgias, the Alabamas, the teams like that. That's who Notre Dame is still chasing. And so can this class be that? Right now, with what they are in 20, if this is how the class ends, no. Is it a good class? Absolutely. But it's not a top five class. The finish will be the key. So what's needed to finish this class out? Number one, you need to still fill some numbers needs. You need at least one more receiver. You need at least one more D lineman. You need at least one more linebacker. You need at least one more corner. So those are the numbers needs. Just this is where you need to be to have the class where you need it. That's about 25 kids, you know, and you don't feel like you, from a depth chart standpoint, you've answered those questions. Okay, that's one part. But then it's also about, but are you adding impact players? And if Notre Dame just goes out and lands guys that are, you know, some mid-level receiver or some mid-level D lineman, some mid-level linebacker, or some mid-level corner, that doesn't move the needle for me. That's like, okay, you had a good class, but it's not a true gap-closing class. You have to finish with numbers, and you have to finish with impact talent, and that's going to be the key. So what does that look like beyond just, again, a couple more receivers, another D, at least one more D lineman, at least one corner, at least one linebacker, those five positions. Okay, it's about adding impact talent, even at positions where maybe you have met your numbers needs. And we'll start off there, and I'll just mention him briefly because I'm going to go to him in the final segment, breakdown film, but that's Jadon Blair. Technically, Notre Dame doesn't have a need for a third receiver. It's more so about or third safety, it's more so about he's an impact, elite impact talent, and they're looking at it saying, hey, we've got to get this kid. This kid moves the needle. Is he a need? No, not from a number standpoint. Is he? But here's where Jadon is a need. He is a need because he has a skill set that you don't have, and he has an upside that is on par with your top talents, with a Xavier Watts, with an Ivan Taylor, with a Bronte Johnson. He brings elite potential, and he brings a specific skill set you don't have. That's the key. And so that's why they're recruiting Jadon Blair, even though he's technically not a need in the class from a number standpoint. He is a need from a talent standpoint. And that's why they're pushing for him. And I'll talk a little bit more about Jadon at the end. So let's go back on the offensive side of the ball now that we've got Jadon out of the way. Wide receiver. This is a very interesting position because I will just be honest, I'm currently underwhelmed by the 2025 receiver class. I like the niche that Micah, that Sean Terry brings to the class. Certainly do. I'm okay with that. I still will say what I said at the time. I just don't understand why they took him when they did. Love Jerome Bettis Jr. as a kid. Love his dad. He's just not that type of player right now. I am very high on Elijah Burris. I completely on board with that take. Love that take. Want Elijah Burris in the class. But how you finish this class to me is going to be huge. And so what Notre Dame needs to do, they need to add two more receivers in this class. They need to go to five in this class. I do. I think when you look at the current roster, you're going to lose Bo Collins after this year. You're going to lose Jaden Harrison after this year, Chris Mitchell after this year. You're going to lose possibly Deion Colsey after this year. You're going to possibly lose Jaden Thomas after this year. When this class shows up, Jaden Greathouse will be a junior. There's no guarantee Jaden Greathouse is going to stay past his junior year because if he has the breakout the next 2 years that we hope he can, he may have an NFL decision to make. And so you look at it and say, boy, there's some good talent there. Jaden Greathouse, you've got K.K. Smith, you've got Jordan Faison, you've got Cam Williams, you've got Micah Gilbert, you've got Logan Saldate, but you're going to need numbers and you're going to need impact talent. And so I still want to see two. There's really four guys on the board, and you've got to get two of those four guys. And those four guys to me are obviously Derek Meadows, Taylen Taylor, Javon Boggs, and Tanuk Hines. You've got to get two of those guys. You have to. And if you get a couple of those guys or three of those guys, I mean, I would even honestly, I would recruit three of them if you could get the right ones. And if somebody's not happy, then, you know, they can go be unhappy somewhere else. That's kind of how I look at it, to be completely honest with you. And I don't feel that way about all positions, but I'll dive into more of that later. But at least two. You need at least two. And I don't care what combination of that four it is. I think Derek Meadows, we've talked a lot about him. He brings a skill set you don't really have. He's tall. He's long. He's a vertical guy. He's very raw. He's a bit of a boomer bust guy. But I understand the attraction there for Derek Meadows. Javon Boggs is a guy that a lot of people aren't going to like as much as I do. They're going to see he's not a burner. He's not a guy that's going to go run a 4.4. He's not 6.4. Kid's just a football player, man. He knows how to play. He's a guy that's 6 foot. He's 190 plus pounds. He's strong. He's a good route runner. And for all the talk about how he may have trouble separating at the next level, look, all I know is this guy has played against some highly ranked players. This guy's played against D1 players, top 100 players. I'm trying to remember the name. There was a DB they played early in the year last year that who's like a top 100 recruit at corner, and he torched him like 15 catches, just destroyed him. And so I love the kid's game. I do. And I get it. There's not the ceiling with him that maybe some other players have, but there's not a higher floor player on your board at receiver than Javon Boggs. Not one. And then you add in the fact he's Brady Hart's teammate. He's from Cocoa, Florida, which is a really good program. There's a lot of reasons why getting a guy like Boggs is important. And he's also a guy that can come in and play right away. And there could be a need for that in 2025, 2026. So I like Boggs quite a bit. Tanuk Hines is kind of the exact opposite of Javon Boggs. And that's kind of why I'm attracted by that potential 1-2 punch, to be honest with you, is because Boggs is the high floor guy that can come into play right away. Tons of great production, great route runner, great hands, knows how to play, knows how to win, all those type of things. Then there's Tanuk Hines, who's right now kind of a track guy learning to play football. Not a great route runner. Still learning how to properly use his hands from a technical standpoint to win at the catch point, all those type of things. But you look at him and say, but man, the tools are really good. He's fast. He's athletic. He's explosive. He plays with a lot of swagger. He just is not a play receiver yet. And so with a guy like Tanuk Hines, it's like maybe he can help you early on because of his speed, but his best day is going to be ahead of him. His best days are going to be down the road. And he's the polar opposite of Javon Boggs because he's more of that high ceiling guy that you look at. So I think him and Javon Boggs could be great complements to each other if you can pull that in. That would be a really good finish. Getting two of those three, Taylen Taylor, the staff still likes. Everybody knows I think he's a heck of a player. I just don't think Taylen Taylor is as interested in Notre Dame as Notre Dame is in him. I just for whatever reason, maybe that changes in the fall. If Notre Dame has a really productive offense in the fall, that could change. Certainly could change. But right now, I just don't think he's as good of a player Notre Dame's not as good of a player, as strong of a player for him as maybe they are some other guys. And so that's why Taylen to me is a bit of a long shot, but he would fit the same boat. Excellent player, would be part of that. But if you can get two of those four, then I think you're in a great place. And I think that right now is the board. There's some other guys on the board, but I think those are the top targets right now at wide receiver. And so getting two of those guys, and I don't care which two it is, would be huge for Notre Dame. Two huge for Notre Dame. And so that's something that has me fired up about potentially. And somebody asked me this last week, if the board plays out the way that you hope it does or think it might, will you be happy with this class? And if they get two of those four, then I still will be happy with this class. I'll still be very happy with it. And so that's how I feel about that. Then we go to cornerback. That's the other position where a strong finish is needed. I'm going to go cornerback and linebacker. Obviously, getting Dallas Golden to go with Cree Thomas was huge. I know Notre Dame likes Cree a lot. Obviously, they love Dallas Golden. You need one more guy. I've said this before. I could see Notre Dame going to four at corner, but I think right now the more likely option is three. And what Dallas Golden's commitment did is to put all the other corners on notice. If you want to be here, you better hurry up and make a decision, because we're taking the first guy that's going to come. I said this in the What's Next breakdown about Dallas Golden on Sunday. There may be a pecking order for Notre Dame. They may grade one guy out, one, two, three, and four. But I have been told all along that, especially if Dallas committed or before the others, because there was always a chance Dallas could be the next one to jump on board. If he jumps on board first, then it's basically going to be first come, first serve for the next group. So when you look at a guy like Mark Zachary, I said this on the board. I'm not going to say a lot about it. It's not a shock that a day after Dallas Golden commits, Mark Zachary starts talking about, I may be ready to make a decision now. It's not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence, because what you want to do is, hey, I want to go through the process, blah, 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 but this is where I want to be. Well, you may now know if you don't hurry up, then you may not be able to be on board. Same thing with a guy like Tristan Haynes and Chuck McDonald and Jameer Joseph. So I think right now the two most likely guys that could make a decision soon are Zachary and Haynes. And so I think that this kind of was a little bit of a wake-up call for Mark Zachary, especially to say, hey, if Notre Dame's where you want to be, you better hurry up and figure it out, because there may not be room in the end for you if somebody else beats you to the punch. So we'll see how it shakes out, but you've got to get one of those four. I'm very confident they will. Extremely confident they will get one of those guys. And now all of a sudden you're bringing in an elite corner class, in my opinion, with Dallas Golden. Dallas Golden's the only elite player in that group. If you get Zachary or Haynes, I have Haynes and Zachary both graded out as top 100 players. Haynes is higher on my board than Zachary is, but they're both top 100 players, where Haynes is like 50 to 75, 60 to 80, maybe. Zachary's more like 90 to 120. It'd be more of his range if I'm talking about it over those classes. But to me, neither of them is better enough. Like, neither of them is so far ahead of the other that you have to wait. So I personally have Tristan Haynes graded higher, but I'm also not going to punish the staff if they're like, we're going to take Zachary, because he's also a very good player. And then vice versa. If they took Haynes first and didn't wait for Zachary, I'd be totally fine with that, because they're both really good players and they're both guys you take right now. That's really the way I look at it, is you take either one, because they're both good players. And we could have a whole show debating who's better, Tristan Haynes or Mark Zachary. But it's kind of like, and you guys are having that in the chat, and I love the responses I'm seeing, is some people like Zachary better, some people like Haynes better. But I think the thing we can all agree on is they're both really good football players, and landing either one of them would be huge to add to the guys you have. And so that's something to be fired up about with this corner class. So I do expect the corner class to be filled up sooner rather than later. We talked about Jadon Blair. Linebacker is the other interesting one. Right now, the need is only one. But I have a feeling, talking to some people, that
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's a chance they would go to two more if the right guys jump on board. Obviously, you have two committed already, Anthony Sacka and Josiah Kia. You could kind of count Dominic Hulak because he plays linebacker in high school, but Notre Dame does not view him as a linebacker. He's more of that hybrid position. So there's four guys on the board right now for Notre Dame. There's Madden Fairimo. There's Nathaniel Usubotang, Noah McHale, and Gavin Nix. I believe that depending on who wants to come first, that there's a good chance that Notre Dame would take two more of those guys. But one is the need. You have to get one, in my opinion. You can't end this class without, like, Anthony Sack is a good football player. I like Anthony Sack. He's a top 150 kid for me. And if he can show, get some of that speed burst back from his sophomore year back as a senior, then he jumps up to top 100 like that. He was top 100 for me before. He was a top 100 guy for me, borderline top 50 off sophomore film. His junior film wasn't quite as good as I think his sophomore film was. So he graded out just outside the top 100. You know, he's more like 110 to 150 type of range to me, 120 to 150 type of range for me. If he has a bounce back senior year, then, I mean, he's a top 100 guy. I love his potential. But ideally, he's not your only big time, like high floor, high ceiling guy. You want to have another one to come in with him. And that's what we're gonna see. So obviously, Nathaniel Usubotang is a guy that the staff is very high on. That's a down the road thing, guys. This is not a kid that's going to be deciding for a long time. He's going to take a lot of visits. He's probably going to visit Notre Dame in the fall. I believe that's what Notre Dame is working for now, which I think is smart. And they're going to be all in on him until the end. So that's just like, that's not even really worth talking about a ton right now because it's so far down the road, outside of saying the staff loves him and they want to have him. And if somebody else commits between now and when he's ready, everything that I've heard is that they would still want and take Nathaniel Usubotang. So he's certainly a guy that we'll always talk about when we talk about the linebacker position. Here's another one. I think I love Noah McHale. I think he's just kind of more looking out west. I think that's going to be a really hard one to win. I think Notre Dame has done a great job there. They've put their best foot forward. You know, I just believe Notre Dame's just not going to be able to win that one. But they're still battling for him. Gavin Nix is another one that I think likes Notre Dame a lot. I'm very curious to see if Notre Dame's going to be able to get him for an official this summer. I believe that they will. I'm not sure if he's set one up yet, but I think Notre Dame will have a shot. He's been on campus twice already, and I think Notre Dame will have a shot to land him with a very good official visit. I like Gavin Nix a lot. He's probably the closest thing to a pure Mike linebacker in this class, and I like – I've said this about Gavin Nix. Gavin Nix is Tavon Coney with more speed and he's just a better all-around athlete, but he's that kind of player. Like, he's a really good player. I like Gavin Nix a lot. He just doesn't have the ceiling of some of the other guys because he's just not as big and long and he's not as explosive athletic as those other guys. Heck of a football player, though. Here's a guy that Notre Dame's staff has quietly done a phenomenal job with, and that's Madden Fairimo. So he released a top four a couple months, month or two ago, and Notre Dame was in it. And at the time, it was very clear that Notre Dame was third or fourth on that list. We said, look, they're going to get him on campus again, and if they can really impress him with the visit, then they'll have a shot. Well, from what I'm told from some sources and varying all types of directions, they crushed the unofficial visit, crushed it, to the point now where I feel Notre Dame is in as good a spot as anybody with Madden Fairimo. Now, it's early yet. He's going to take official visits and all that kind of stuff. But Notre Dame went from being an afterthought in his top four, in my opinion, to being there with anybody. I don't think he has a leader right now, but I think Notre Dame has put themselves in position to where they're in a great spot. They're in a really good spot there. Now it's about what comes next. How do you close next? That's going to be the key for me, is the close. But between him and Owusu-Boateng and Gavin Nix, I'm very confident that they're going to get one of those guys. A lot of work to be done, but I feel more confident now that they'll get one of those than I did a month ago. A month ago, I wasn't sure they were going to get any of those guys. Now, like there a month ago, there was a possibility that your linebacker class could be Josiah Kia, Anthony Saka, and Antoine Delorier. Now, those are all good football players. I like Antoine Delorier, who just committed to Syracuse. I like Anthony Saka. He would have been my top guy in that class, and I like some things I've seen from Josiah Kia. I just don't have a lot of film of him. But that's like a step down overall from what you've been getting. And even though I like all those players, you needed another impact guy. I've said this for months. I like Antoine Delorier. I like this guy. I like this guy. But you need one of those high-level impact guys. And so that's why you need to land one of those forward. I believe right now that Notre Dame has put themselves in a position where I'd have a tough time seeing them not getting one of those four. Anything can happen, but that's where I'm at right now. So I think linebackers is a position where they're much better placed to land one of those guys than they were before. Here's a position that I'm not as confident about, and that is the defensive line. I honestly have no clue what they're trying to do on the defensive line. I don't. I wish I had some information for you, but even some of my sources are just like that. I don't have a clue what they're doing. And so I really don't know. I wish I had answers for you. This isn't a bashing anybody thing. I don't know if they know what their plans are. They really thought they were going to get a certain player in Damian Shanklin. That didn't work out. And they had kind of not done the things they needed to do to kind of have a good backup plan, in my opinion. And some of the guys that they also liked were just never going to come to Notre Dame. And I think they didn't do a great job of getting a read on that. So now you're sitting in a situation where they're kind of scrambling a little bit. Now it could work out. They could go find someone that we love. I just don't know who that's going to be. I truly don't. So I'm not going to sit here and say, this is going to be a disappointing line class. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's going to be a great line class. I don't know. I truly don't have a clue what the plan is. I really don't. And Bill Jefferson said portal. That's fine. Portal's fine. But you haven't shown that you can get a portal Viper in this class, because they need a Viper. You know, hopefully Logan Thomas pans out. But even if Logan Thomas pans out, when this class arrives, you could be in a situation where Boubacar is going into his last year, because he could be a three and done guy if he breaks out. You know, you're going to have Boubacar and Logan Thomas. And then it's like, who else are you going to have? It's a little shaky. Now, if they can go to the portal and get a young guy, that helps. But you've got to figure some answers out. And I still don't think they should have completely shut down for another interior guy. I think they've made some very unnecessary, unforced errors. Dropping Jarquez Carter when they did. You know, not misreading Jamie. I think they did everything they could in the recruitment of Damian Shanklin to get him. I just don't think he liked Notre Dame. And there's nothing Al Washington or Marcus Freeman or Chad Bowden could have done with that. You've never heard me once criticize Al Washington for not getting Damian Shanklin. Everyone that I talked to, they put the work in there. He put the work in there. The only criticism I have is you guys should have read that one sooner and had a backup plan, and then say no to Marco Jones and no to Javonte Campbell. And there's just been a lot, in my opinion, unforced errors. But I want to see how it shakes out first before I go down into now let's rip them category. Let's see how it plays out first. But right now I have some concerns about how they're going to be, because everywhere else I can tell you, here's the plan. Here's the guys on the board. Here's what they like. Here's who they've got on the board. If they don't get those guys, here's some guys they're looking at. There's some receivers they're looking at in case they don't think they're going to get those guys. They're not going to be standing there with their pants down. They have a plan in place. They have a plan in place at corner. They have a plan in place at – they had a plan in place at safety. They have executed that plan very well. They had a plan on offensive line. They executed it very well. They have a plan in place at a lot of these places. D-line, I have no clue what the plan is. None. And we're just going to have to kind of sit back and let's see how it plays out, and then we can evaluate the process afterwards. But even if it works out, the process has to get reevaluated in a big, big way on the defensive line. And so we'll just see how it plays out. And here's the last one, and I'll wrap up with this. I told y'all a month ago or so that I just don't see James Simon as a player. And they weren't. I mean, I talked to sources on both sides, and it was like, you know, he's going to visit and all that, and he likes Coach McCullough, but they're not really a team that are serious contenders for James Simon. That's the running back from Louisiana. And so just wasn't going to happen. And that's what I was told by people I know that are familiar with where Notre Dame stood on it. This is people that are familiar with where James Simon stood on it. Hey, he's going to visit it when he makes his Midwest swing, but they're not going to be a player for him. I still don't think they're going to get him. I still don't think they're the leader. However, the visit he had at Notre Dame in April moved the needle in a big way, to the point now where I'm like, if I was a betting man today, I don't think that I would pick James Simon, but I'd have to think a lot more about it. And so that's a great job by Coach McCullough and the staff to have really knocked it out of the park with him. As y'all know, I'm very high on James Simon as a player. He reminds me of a faster version of Logan Diggs, which is impressive because you all know how high I am on Logan Diggs. I like James Simon a lot. Still don't think they're going to get him, but they're in the game now to a much greater degree than they were. And I do believe, unless he makes a decision before June, I do believe that he's going to be back on campus in the summer for an official. That's the plan, from my understanding, is the plan that he will be back on campus this summer for an official, unless he decides to make a decision and commit somewhere before that. So huge shout out to Coach McCullough for getting them in the game on that one. That's an impressive one. Now, the fit, that we'll have that conversation if I feel like they're going to get him. But right now, I think they did a great job to get there. So to wrap it all up, you've got a board of four receivers. You got to get two of them. You've got a board of four corners. You've got to get one of them. You've got a board of four linebackers. You got to get one of them. And then after that, you got to figure out whatever you're doing at defensive line. And that's really where we're at. So what would a dream finish look like for Notre Dame as far as that gap closing class? To me, it's two of the receivers, whether it's any two of Boggs, Hines, Meadows, Taylor, any two of those. You've got to get one of Mark Zachary, Tristan Haynes. You've got to get one of the four linebackers, Owusu, Boateng, Ferry Emo, Nix, or McHale. I don't think they're in it with McHale very strongly right now. I mean, he likes them and all that, but I just think if he came out a top five tomorrow, I think Notre Dame would be in the top five. I just think they'd be fourth or fifth, and that's okay. I mean, all respect, kid's got to do what he's comfortable with. I still love knowing McHale as a player. They've got to figure out something on the defensive line, but you got to get one of those guys. And if they can get, if you're talking about like a truly moving the needle, if you could somehow get Owusu, Boateng, and Ferry Emo, or Owusu, Boateng, and Nix, or Ferry Emo and Nix, two of those three, that would be huge to go with Saka and Kia. That would be absolutely monster linebacker class. I'd be thrilled with that class. And so you got to get them. You got to figure out something on the D-line, whether it's portal or high school. You've got to get somebody that can help you, not just a number, not just a body, but a guy that can help you. And then the last piece is Jadon Blair, and is got to be a guy you got to go get. And James Simon, to me, is icing on the cake. I would be thrilled to get James Simon, but that, to me, you don't have to get him to move to close the gap. You've done well at running back. That would be just like, okay, now you're just kind of rubbing it in. That's what James Simon would be like. Now you guys are just kind of rubbing. Now you guys are trying to be Bama. Now you're just trying to get good players just to get good players. Like, that would just be like, all right. Now, I would take James Simon in a heartbeat. Please don't take this as I don't think he moves the needle as a player. It's just like, you don't need him. It'd just be like, okay, now you're just being ridiculous with the talent you're bringing in at running back. The other guys are more needs. The last one, as I said, is Jadon Blair. Getting Jadon Blair and Mark Zachary, to me, to go with Golden, Ivan Taylor, Cree Thomas, and Ethan Long, six DBs that I'll put up against anybody's secondary class. There might be some as good, but I don't think there's anybody better. And yes, I have seen Ohio State's class, but they are in that conversation. And of course, we need to see how Ohio State finishes as well. But if you get Blair and Zachary or Haynes, one of those two, Haynes or Zachary, to go with Blair to finish this class out, this is an elite secondary class. And I was talking with Brian Smith about this, and And if we get to the point where this happens, I'll have him on and we'll talk about it. But the conversation that Brian and I were having is we're trying to think back to when the last time was that Notre Dame's recruited a secondary like this. And his point to me was, well, never really, because in the Lou Holtz era, a lot of the guys they recruited to play DB weren't DBs necessarily in high school. They were quarterbacks or running backs, a different era. But even if you look at the era, like the 89, 90, 91 era, where they brought in just elite DBs every year, I don't know that we saw a six-man group like the one they're about to bring in if they can land those players. That would be big time. You know, and to be able to go out there and get that kind of player would be huge. Huge. Those players, that'd be huge. To get that kind of class would be huge. Because if you can, like, what's the one position, the two positions on defense that we've said Notre Dame just doesn't recruit elite players? Defensive end and corner. Defensive end, still a question mark. Corner, safety, you're talking about now you're recruiting as well as anybody. I mean, if Notre Dame can go through a four-year stretch where at cornerback they landed Benjamin Morrison, Jaden Mickey, Christian Gray, Leonard Moore, Carson Hobbs, Dallas Golden, Mark Zachary, and Cree Thomas in a four-year stretch, there aren't many people that are recruiting corner better than that, if anybody. And safety was a problem for years. Recruiting safety was a problem for years. If all of a sudden in a three-year stretch, you get a Don Shuler, Ben Minnick, Luke Talich, Bronte Johnson, Kennedy Urlacher, Ivan Taylor, Jadon Blair, and Ethan Long, and Tabron Benny Powell, now all of a sudden your safety recruiting is getting to the level where you are at linebacker and corner. And now it's just like, okay, now Notre Dame is not just coached well on defense. They're not just smart, heady players, but they now have the athletes and the talent to go out there on all three levels and compete and have an elite defense. That's how you close the gap. That's how you close the gap. And so that's the finish that they need to have. And if they can have that, and here's the thing that's crazy, folks. I just mentioned like all this stuff, and I'm talking about a dream class. I'm just telling y'all right now, outside of maybe James Simon and maybe getting two of the four linebackers, those are the two sort of pipe dream type of deals. I look at the others. It's not a pipe dream at all to think they're going to get two of those receivers. It's not a pipe dream at all to think they're going to add Blair and Zachary to finish this class. There's work to be done, but it's not like, oh, dude, you're just being a homer and telling us all these guys. They're not going to get any of those guys. I can see all of it. It's not a pipe dream to think they're going to get one more top linebacker to go with Anthony Sacco, who's a top linebacker. The pipe dream would be that they're going to add two. That's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility, but I'm not betting my mortgage on it. You know what I'm saying? I'm much more comfortable saying they're going to get one of them. And so then you look at it, and let's just say this is the finish. Boggs and Hines on offense. You get Mark Zachary and Jadon Blair in the secondary, and you get Madden Fair-Emo at linebacker. Let's say that's the five-man finish. And so that'd be receiver, linebacker, corner, safety, five-man finish. So now you have an offensive class that has Deuce Knight at quarterback, Daniel Anderson and Justin Thurman at running back. You'd have Javon Boggs, Tanook Hines, Elijah Burris, Sharon Terry, and Jerome Bettis Jr. at receiver, James Flanagan at tight end, and then Owen Strebig, Matty Augustine, and Will Black in offensive line. That's like right now, the offensive class is good because of Deuce, James Flanagan, the tackles. I love the receiver class. Running back class is solid. But you go out and land those two receivers, and all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, now you're now following up last year's elite offensive class with another one. So, boom, let's go for it. And then defensively, you've already got Christopher Burgess, Joseph Reef, Davion Dixon, which for all the issues I have with the defensive line class to finish, that's a good three-man group. Not great, but good. You've got to finish it well. You've got Anthony Sacca. You've got Josiah Kia. You've got Creed Thomas. You've got Dallas Golden. You've got Ivan Taylor. And you've got Ethan Long. If you add one of Madden Fair-Emo or Nathaniel Owusu-Boateng or Gavin Nix to that, if you add Mark Zachary to that, and if you add Jadon Blair to that, without even adding another defensive lineman, That's one heck of a defensive class. And then you put them two together, and that's how you close the gap. Big time offense, big time defense. Not 1 year you're grand on offense, next year you're grand on defense. It's both of them together. That's the key. And if Notre Dame can do that, then they're going to have a chance to start really, truly moving the needle when it comes to the kind of football team that they can be. And that's why I think this is a huge class for Notre Dame, is to be able to do this a year after the 23 class was big time. The 24 class was big time. The 25 class needs to finish strong if it's going to be big time. And now you're talking about stacking classes. This is what we've talked about for years, y'all. Y'all know this. Can you stack big time classes year after year after year? Brian Kelly couldn't do that. 2013 was an elite class. 2014 was one of his most disappointing classes. You can't do that back to back. You've got to stack them year after year. And if they do, if they can finish like this in 25, then you've now had three stacked classes in a row. And that's a great place to be. And then the 22 class came up short in some important numbers. It definitely came up short. There's no doubt. You can't argue with it. But even that class that came up short in certain positions is still a class that, if you think about it, added Benjamin Morrison to your roster. It added Jaden Mickey to your roster. It added, I'm trying to think of Jalen Snead to your roster. It added Jadarian Price to your roster. It added Jabron Payne to your roster. It added Ashton Craig and Billy Shrouth to your roster. It added Josh Burnham to your roster. It added Donovan Heinisch to your roster. All guys are going to help your football team win. And so to me, that's where it's at. That's where it's got to be. And if they can continue finishing the way that I think they're capable of, then they're going to do just that. But we're going to see. It's they got to have the finish. They've got to finish with this kind of group if this is going to be a truly gap-closing recruiting class in 25. So I'm going to do film room next, folks. But before I get over to the film room, do me a favor. Hit that like button. Hit the subscribe button. Hit that notification bell. Share this podcast. Give us a five-star review for listening via podcast platform. We'd greatly appreciate that. And as always, show us your support by signing up for the message board at boards.archbreakdown.com or go to the merch store. I don't have this shirt up, but if enough people want it, I can put it up. We also have IB hats. We have IB mugs. We have IB flags, which we used to sell a lot of those. We have some awesome sweats, a lot of stuff. I just bought a little something special for my wife, which I'm hoping to be able to share with you guys one of these days. Nothing like that. We don't have anything like that. But we've got some stuff on there that I think you guys will check out. And the link is in the description box below to see that. So definitely go check that out for as well. And we'll be back here in a minute for some film room on the Irish Breakdown podcast.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.